My name is Art Salazar. Again, I'm a DIS from the state of New Mexico, and I'm going to be presenting on our internet partner notifications. Now, prior to October of 2006, it was very rare that individuals diagnosed with syphilis was identifying meeting sex partners as a risk on meeting sex partners through the internet was being identified as a risk factor for syphilis. So it was very rare that was occurring. But on October 10th of 2006, we had our first client diagnosed with syphilis who reported to meeting such a significant number of sex partners online that we knew we had to begin investigating and tracking this information. Which quickly led us to our first obstacle, which is the fact that New Mexico Department of Health did not have access to these sex sites. We just couldn't look up this information at work. And also for the fact that the Department of Health did not have a working protocol for conducting internet partner notifications, which here on out will be referred to as IPNs. Now, when we tried to access the website from our work, this is the first thing that popped up on our screen: message blocked. So our STD program quickly contacted the IT staff, and they ensured that we had access to only the specific websites that we needed to contact partners through. And they ensured that, you know, we continuously had access to these sites. And once they gave us clearance to these sites, all other normal internet restrictions were still in place. They only gave us access to these specific sites that we were needing to get on. Our STD program also went to work and developed a protocol to ensure that we had a high level of professionalism while we were conducting IPNs, and also that made sure that all documentation was properly recorded for all IPN activities. And prior to beginning notifications, all DISs were required to sign this protocol. Now, once we were able to access these websites, we quickly realized that a majority of the cases investigating were being named on sex sites which required membership fees. And also, once we got onto, we were able to log into these websites, that we were having to create a user profile. And once we started getting into the notification letters, sending them all out, we kept coming across the problem that because of our routine IT maintenance, the websites kept becoming blocked again, and we had to keep working around that problem to keep continuously having that access. So the first thing we do, we contacted manhunt.net, which several other sites have reported on. Majority of our cases were being mentioned off of manhunt.net, and there was several other sex sites out there that required membership fees, but the majority of our cases were through manhunt.net. So I picked up the phone, called their customer service number, and started talking with their site administrators. And it turns out, from several other states already contacting them to set up similar profiles, they have a lot of experience with IPN notifications. So because of that, they also gave us a few pointers on what to include on our profile that will be listed on their site. And the New Mexico Department of Health also contacted our IT staff to make sure that whenever the sites would be blocked, that they would re-give us access to that. Basically, I just would send an email to the administrators and the IT staff. Within 5 to 10 minutes, the website would again be accessible. Now, this is our general profile that individuals would see on manhunt.net. And in an attempt to give us more credibility to our notification letters, the blue box on the left-hand side is a general notification profile picture which Manhunt recommended we use. In place of this, a normal profile, this is where individuals would be putting their face picture or whatever picture people would prefer to see. As you saw earlier, there were some of the bodies, different stuff like that. But they felt that to give it more credibility, they felt that we should use that. They also gave us a few little pointers, like I said, to, you know, what to put into our brief description of our program. Now, once we begin doing the notifications, we send out three email notification letters over a 10-day period, and if we still have not received a response on the 10th day, we would close that investigation as an unable to locate. Now, from October 2006 to March 1st, 2008, we had a total of 25 individuals diagnosed with syphilis who reported to meeting at least one sex partner online. Now, all of these 25 were MSMs, and only one of the clients refused to be interviewed. Now, the 25 cases being reported on, they were all from the Albuquerque metropolitan area only. There were a few cases outside of the area, but I was only responsible for the following up on the Albuquerque cases. Now, the 25 cases being reported on, we had a total of 10 of the cases, or 40%, were also co-infected with HIV. One of them was also diagnosed with neurosyphilis. Now, of the 10 individuals diagnosed with HIV, half of those were newly diagnosed with HIV at the time of syphilis diagnosis, and they were referred to proper follow-up and care. Of the 24 clients interviewed who were diagnosed with syphilis, we had only 4 who reported to using condoms always, 14 who said they sometimes use condoms, and 1 who said he never uses condoms. We had 2 who reported to using meth. We had 1 who reported to using meth, alcohol, crack, coke, and poppers, and 1 who admitted to exchanging sex for drugs or money. Now, also of the 24 interviewed, we were able to get a total of at least 204 sex partners named during the interview periods. Now, of the 204 sex partners, we were able to obtain potential locating information on 128 of those clients for a 63% rate. Now, what we consider potential locating information would have been a screen name, email address, first or last name, or maybe a phone number. Those are a few examples. Now, the numbers listed above the line represent 51% of the successful case closures that we were able to bring to a closure, get people in for treatment or follow-up. Now, the numbers below the line account for 49% of the cases that had an unsuccessful case closure or some that were still pending further follow-up. Some of the other additional obstacles that we came across is that, you know, once these people are online and create their accounts, they can easily change or delete their profile, and that once the changes have occurred, they are impossible to track and follow up on. Also, the IPN letter recipients can delete or ignore the notifications without following up with the DIS, or they can get this information and seek medical care at a private provider and potentially risk receiving inadequate care or treatment because they did not mention that they received an IPN letter. We also encouraged, even though we intended to follow up on all the sex partner information, we still encouraged the index patient to notify all their partners about their exposures. And if somebody did contact us after receiving an IPN letter, they chose that they were going to go seek care at a private provider, we strongly encouraged them to take these IPN letters to their provider to hopefully that they would in the hopes that they would receive the adequate care that they were needing. Now, some of the lessons that we learned here is that it is very essential to have a good working relationship with your IT staff. I mean, if you call them up and, you know, you're getting all these blocked websites and you don't get along with them, you're never going to be getting anywhere with your partner notifications. So you have to continuously work with them to get that access. That is vital. And we also learned that the times when the index patient did notify their partners, we had a greater return rate of clients following up about the exposure notifications. And again, working with the specific sex site administrators giving us the general notification letters and clearing us as a certified healthcare facility, it lends more credibility to our notification letters. And one of the more important lessons that I think we learned was that just because they did not contact us does not mean that these individuals did not seek medical care. Again, they could have went to a private provider and seek care there, or they could have even came into our clinic. And because they did not mention that they had an IPN letter received, we were not able to create a link from their real name to their screen name or internet name or email address. I think that one thing that we need to start implementing across the nation is that everybody needs to start asking about internet sex partners during all syphilis interviews, not just for MSMs, but all syphilis interviews. We need to continue the prevention efforts through the internet. This is the way that this is going to be the tool of the future, and you know, this is going to be the easiest way to reach the most people with the shortest amount of time. And again, you know, once people implement these IPN notifications in their program, you can, in rural states and community, you will be able to reach clients who would have been very difficult to have reached otherwise. In places like New Mexico, there's some of our DISs have to travel sometimes up to 3 to 4 hours just to get to another town to do some notifications letter, whereas if they just got in the internet, they could have reached them within seconds. And that's pretty much it. The rest of the presentation, I just have specific slides of like our protocol agreements. I also have some handouts in the back, but these will be posted on the internet. This is just kind of a sample of stating of what we information we collected on our site log sheets. Kind of a quick example of what our log sheet actually looks like. And these are a few of our sample letters that we send out. We have the first three that we send out is sent out by the DIS is conducting the investigation, and each one is stressing more importantly that they need to contact us. And we also have a fourth letter that we generated that in place of the DIS, we also have one that a supervisor can send out to let them know that, you know, one of their employees actually is conducting this information and that they need to follow up. Thank you very much.
So we have time for just a couple of quick questions. Mary?
Not really a question, but I just wanted to say two things. Number one, your IT staff, not only is it important to have a good working relationship with them, but very often, if you incorporate IT staff into your MS prevention outreach efforts, it turns out that the IT staff actually have a lot of really good ideas about reaching out to the different populations that you're trying to reach. And they themselves will be active prevention partners, even though that might not be their job in your health department. We found that our IT staff come up with some of the most clever and creative things that we've been able to come up with. So I kind of want to put in a plug for making sure that they're an actual active part of the team. And the second thing is, I hope that you'll put your materials and your information that you've managed to accrue on STD Prevention Online. For all the professionals who are engaged in this kind of activity to kind of network with each other and share their information and results and materials so that we can all become better as we have
this. Great, yeah. I could get with you after and get that information. But yeah, it is very important, you know, to work with your IT staff. When I call them, like I said, I send them an email, or sometimes I will call on the phone and they know me as the sex guy, you know, because nobody else has this access to this information. They say, oh, yeah, you're that one guy. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, but it's very important to work well with them.
Let's go with the woman in the back and then in the front. Thanks.
Couldn't quite understand. Did you say that if we get the information, is it easier to track? And
I don't think it's on.
No.
Just
So far on the ones that required the email address follow-up, one of my counterparts was the one following up on those. But from what we had experienced, they're all pretty much, they all have the same amount of difficulties because some of those private providers aren't aware of what we're doing, like the Yahoo accounts and different the Hotmails. They're not too aware of what we're going on. But when you have sites that are geared specifically towards sexual interactions, I think they kind of have a better understanding of, you know, the potential risk, what's going on. So you know, we've had a pretty good turnout, a pretty good response for overall for all notifications, through whether it was email or a sex site screen name. We were given potential locating information.
How much of that was interface? Was that solely interface? I mean, I know there's other ways to look there, but do you know what portion of that was just internet only?
Yeah. We don't know the exact percentage, but we do. I do know that the bulk of those were named through the internet. We did have some individuals where they went out to a local bar or someone picked somebody up, or a friend or something like that. But majority of these cases were through the internet, And we found that a lot of these cases didn't just have a few partners. They were primarily meeting like anywhere from, I think the most cases we had was, 30 partners named off of, one interview period. And, you know, the bulk of those were through these internet sex sites. Yeah, there was, a lot of the cases where all we had was just a screen name. You know, when we first started getting into this, I was asking them, I kind of wasn't too familiar with this, and I was asking them, what did their general picture look like? And then they said, it showed their body from their chest to their thigh. Then once I got on this site, I realized 99% of the cases showed their body to their thighs, and that's all they showed. They didn't show their face pictures, but yeah, it was very interesting to get into this information and start trying to do the notifications.